Being a Dad, 8:30 a.m. and p.m. on WCNO 89.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting in this second week of August, 2025. The Religious Liberty Report, a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious freedom, religious liberties, freedom of conscience. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. We can't just stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. The Religious Liberty Report, hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, to better understand, articulate your Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold, uncompromising, and committed to God's Word as our guide. We're not looking to win debates, brothers and sisters, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. This radio broadcast is intended to help equip churches, believers, on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Religious liberty, specifically the Christian worldview, is our emphasis. Focusing on the four great questions of life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? The four great questions of life. The answers mostly depend on how you view the world, your worldview. Here on the Religious Liberty Report, we have a distinctly Christian worldview, and we never apologize for this. Religious liberty is a valued, protected part of the First Amendment rights, guaranteed to all Americans. The constitutional right to worship, preach, be a witness, and share our faith. Let's do a little review. Civics 101. The First Amendment both prevents the government of the United States from privileging one religion over another, and it protects each and every one of us as American citizens to believe whatever we choose to believe or not to believe about what God thinks, approves, or blesses. The First Amendment, it's what protects our democracy from becoming a theocracy. Theocracies don't seem to work out well as we watch and see and witness religious wars, sectarian violence. It seems that the guarantee of religious freedom is something Americans of all religions or no religion should rejoice and be glad in. Religious freedom is a founding principle of our nation. Religious freedoms are enshrined in our Constitution. In fact, it's often referred to as the first freedom of the United States, and first not just because it's in the First Amendment, but because it's a logical priority. Because without freedom of conscience, we really have no other liberties. James Madison, one of the writers of the U.S. Constitution, once said, "Conscience is the most sacred of all property." Voltaire, the French philosopher and cynic, said, think for yourselves and let others enjoy the privilege to do so too. Thomas Jefferson is quoted as saying, no provision in our Constitution ought to be dearer to man than that which protects the rights of conscience against the enterprises of the civil authority. John Milton is quoted, give me the liberty to know, to argue freely according to conscience, which is above all liberties. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, talking about freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, the freedom to believe or to not believe. Because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. We saw how this is even biblical, where faith is commanded but never compelled. Jesus, asking the rich young ruler in Matthew 2 to leave everything and follow him, when he did not, Jesus let him go. Freedom of conscience, the right to think, believe, and act according to one's own moral or religious convictions, widely regarded as the cornerstone of a free society. The engine, the internal engine of liberty, protecting the individual's ability to worship or not, to form independent judgment. Without this, all other rights are hollow and subject to manipulation. A government or authority that claims the power to dictate belief also claims the power to silence any dissent, to control expression and punish nonconformity. If the state could compel faith, conscience, morality, it can also infringe on the freedom of speech, religion, assembly, press, and due process. All liberties that stem from the right to think and act freely. It's no secret that throughout history, totalitarian, oppressive governments, regimes have always first started targeting conscience, faith, expression, through censorship, forced ideology, and persecution. The U.S. Constitution is a sort of enlightened philosophy based on international human rights that begin with the conscience, freedom of conscience, because it is the origin of all authentic choice. The U.S. Constitution, especially in its First Amendment, reflects the Enlightenment belief in individual liberty, in reason, in freedom of conscience. Among its most revolutionary contributions is its explicit, very unique for the time, but its explicit protection of religious freedom. The Founding Fathers, viewing religious liberty as essential to a free society. The U.S. Constitution, setting forth these enlightened principles because when freedom of conscience is denied, minds are not free, and then neither are societies. In fact, our Constitution was heavily influenced by the Enlightenment, or what they refer to as the Enlightenment thinkers, one of whom was John Locke, who argued in his treatise, A Letter Concerning Toleration, that he published in 1689. He wrote that government exists to protect life, liberty, and property, not to dictate religious belief. The Enlightenment and its philosophy emphasized rationality, individual rights, and very unique for its time, the separation of church and state. And all of these ideas were embraced and advanced by the founders of this great nation. As I said, James Madison, often referred to as the father of the Constitution and the primary author of the First Amendment, he wrote in 1785, "The religion of every man must be left to the conviction and conscience of every man." You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, reviewing the U.S. Constitution, the Enlightenment and its philosophy regarding rationality, individual rights, and the separation of church and state. Ideas embraced, advanced by America's founders. Civil government put forth to protect life, liberty, and property, but not to dictate religious belief. Turning the page on the report in this second week of August, 2025, Alexander Alfano reporting. In news coming from the courts, the federal courts, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals unanimously ruled just this past week that the Christian aid organization World Vision has the freedom to hire people who share the organization's beliefs for jobs that have, quote, vital religious duties. The case of World Vision versus McMahon, the three-judge panel finding that the ministerial exception to employment discrimination laws allows World Vision to rescind or revoke an offer to hire a woman because she is in a same-sex marriage. Since the woman would have acted as a public voice for the ministry in the position it was offering, the court cited U.S. Supreme Court precedent that religious organizations have the freedom to choose who to employ or not employ, who will best reflect their beliefs for positions that directly support its core mission. Page 2 of the report. Did you know that the Bible is the most widely distributed book in history? Here's 10 arguments for why the Bible can be trusted and for its divine inspiration. First, archaeological findings consistently confirm historical events, places, and people that are mentioned in the Bible. This is a fundamental element and consideration and argument that strengthens the credibility of Scripture. Second, the Bible has an unparalleled wealth of ancient manuscripts that support its precision that it was properly handed down over the generations. We have over 5,800 New Testament manuscripts alone, allowing for extremely high accuracy for preserving the original text. Number three, hundreds of Bible prophecies have been fulfilled with incredible accuracy, especially the messianic prophecies about Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Number four, despite being written over 1,500 years by 40 authors from different backgrounds, shepherds, kings, prophets, the Bible presents a consistent, a unified message without contradictions. This points to divine inspiration. Number five, the Bible contains numerous statements regarding scientific knowledge. Scientific knowledge that appears in Scripture hundreds, even thousands of years before such knowledge was discovered by humanity. Six, the Bible presents unparalleled moral and ethical framework, often acknowledged even by unbelievers, in its teachings of love, justice, forgiveness, and humility. Seven, the Bible has had immense impact on human history, on law, culture, ethics. The Bible has shaped societies, entire generations and cultures, art, literature, and institutions globally for almost 3,000 years. Number 8. The Bible has survived numerous attempts throughout history to suppress or destroy it. Despite this, all the efforts of the enemy of darkness to destroy our holy book, it remains the most widely distributed, the most read book in all of history. Number 9. The Bible accurately predicts the rise and fall of empires. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian, the Greek, the Roman. Also prophesying on the scattering and regathering of Israel. A unique fulfilled prophecy. And number 10. The Bible can be known to be true, trustworthy, because of a personal experience we have through the Holy Spirit and coming to faith in Christ. I was sharing just yesterday the 5 solas that we inherit from the Protestant Reformation from the 16th century, where the Catholic and the Protestant churches divided formally after Luther nailed his theses to the wall in Wittenberg, Germany, his 95 theses. This gives us a chance to review a little history, a little theology, the 5 solas of the Reformation. The 5 solas coming from the Latin phrase or word alone, soledad, solas. The 5 solas, 5 Latin phrases that summarize the core theological beliefs of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, developed to affirm key doctrines of the movement of what they called the Protestant Reformation, in contrast to certain teachings of the Roman Catholic Church at the time. Here we have them, the 5 solas of the Reformation. Number 1, sola scriptura, scripture alone. The Bible alone is the highest authority in matters of faith and practice, not church tradition or ecclesiastical interpretation, rituals, rites. Scripture alone is the highest authority in matters of faith and practice. Number 2, sola fide, faith alone. Salvation is received through faith alone, never by good works or human effort. In Romans 3, verse 28, we read, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." Romans 3, verse 28. Number 3, sola gratia, grace alone. Salvation comes solely by God's grace, never by any merit of our own. We find this in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves." Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Number 4, solus Christus. Jesus Christ is the sole mediator between God and humanity. No priest, no saint, no pastor or church authority shares this role. Solus Christus, Christ alone. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we read, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And number 5, the fifth of the 5 solas, codified or set down in the 16th century as the basis for the Protestant Reformation, summarizing the core theological beliefs of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. Number 5, Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory. All glory is due to God alone for salvation and for everything else. We have Romans 16, verse 27. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. These five solas, as they've come to be known, they're a concise representation of what the theology of the Reformed Protestant Church was at the time in the 16th century, emphasizing biblical authority, salvation by grace through faith, and a Christ-centered doctrine, rejecting any notion of human merit or church hierarchy as necessary for salvation. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, in this second week of August 2025. Do you suffer from paraskevidekatriaphobia? Paraskevidekatriaphobia. The fear of Friday the 13th. Derived from the Greek origin, Friday is Paraskevi. Paraskevi. 13 is Dekatres, and fear, Phobos. A specific phobia, the fear of Friday, Paraskevi, with the fear of the number 13. Friday the 13th. Well, that's the fear that bad things will happen on that particular day. Some look to history for proof. For example, on August 13th, Friday, August the 13th, 1521, the Aztec Empire came to an end. On Friday, September 13th, 1940, German bombs hit Buckingham Palace in London, destroying the chapel. On Friday, November 13th, 1970, a cyclone killed 300,000 people in Bangladesh. If you're really concerned about bad things happening on Friday the 13th, well, scientists are predicting an asteroid will come extremely close to Earth. You got it. On Friday, April 13th, 2029. This is mostly, I would say, due to coincidence. Is it significant? Well, no, I would say not really. But there is one day that does seem to hold significance of being a day of tragedy, pain, and loss, and sorrow. A day that causes Friday the 13th to pale in comparison. That day is the ninth day of Av, a day that has brought untold tragedy, pain, loss, and sorrow on many occasions over to the Jewish people. A day with a history of sad, tragic, and even horrific events. The month of Av is the fifth month in the Jewish calendar, usually falling somewhere in August on our Gregorian calendar. The ninth day of Av begins this Saturday night, extending through Sunday, and its arrival marks a day of fasting, mourning for the Jewish people. But what makes this day unique and tragic is the events which have took place throughout history on the ninth of Av. Solomon's temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 586 BC. On the ninth of Av, Herod's temple destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD on the 9th of Av. The second Jewish revolt against Rome, crushed in 132 AD, again on the 9th of Av, where more than 100,000 Jews were killed on just that one day. 1 year later, the Roman commander on the 9th of Av, the Roman commander in Jerusalem had the site of the Jewish temple plowed, destroyed, leveled. That would be three times that the Jewish temple was destroyed on the 9th of Av, first time in 586 BC, then in 70 AD, and then in 132 AD, when it was finally plowed to the ground. Tradition holds it that on the 9th of Av was the day when the 12 spies who had been sent out by Moses returned to give their report on the Promised Land. The 9th of Av, the day the Jews were expelled from England in the year 1290, the day the Jews were expelled from France in 1306, and the day the Jews were expelled from Spain in 1492. The 9th of Av, the day in 1941 when Heinrich Himmler received approval from the Nazi Party to begin implementing the Final Solution, which ultimately killed 6 million Jews in Europe. It's easy to see why this day is the most sorrowful day of the year for the Jewish people, the 9th of Av, recognized as a time of sorrow. Going back as early as the Babylonian captivity. In fact, it appears in Zechariah chapter 7. The ninth day of Av, referred to in Hebrew as Tisha B'Av, a solemn day of mourning in the Jewish calendar. And now a message from one of our friends, South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, run a church, or enrich your spiritual life, their new programs are designed just for you, introducing their Master's in Business Administration, Master's in Mental Health Counseling, a Doctorate in Ministry. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. Programs available online or on campus. Explore their diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, and counseling, from associate to doctoral levels. Available both online and on campus, embracing a multicultural and interdenominational community. As one of the top 10 most affordable Bible colleges in the U.S., South Florida Bible College provides quality education at an affordable price. With scholarship opportunities just a click away, let nothing stop you from pursuing your dreams. At South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary, fully accredited and ready to serve you, visit them online at sfbc.edu to learn more and apply today. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. Jesus sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. For me, an honor, a privilege to host you on this week's report. Signing off until next time, God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.